Jack Benny program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. Radio Theater.
In the air.
Dedicated to man's imagination, the theater of the mind.
You know what our call letters WGN stand for, don't you?
WGN Radio Theater.
The special three-hour presentation.
With Carl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
All right, it's about 7 minutes after 11 p.m. here on the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. To my right, the vivacious Lisa Wolf. What's up, Lisa?
Hi, Carl.
Look who's here. Mike Costello's in the studio.
Hey, how's it going?
Mike. Producer.
And we have Ashley Byhun producing for us yesterday and today. So we know we're going to have a great show, and we feel lucky to have you with us, Ashley.
As always. And, hey, we have a slight change in the programming tonight. We're still going to have the Bing Crosby show to start things off. But Mike called me earlier and said, hey, the quality is not up to our standards
okay,
on the particular episode.
I thought
episode.
That Mike was magic and
well,
he could make anything sound good, so I'm a little disappointed.
All right, well, Mike, so we have a new show. It's only like a week or two later, and it has a big guest star with James Stewart. So it's the Bing Crosby Show. We're going to play this broadcast from March 12th, 1953. Guests are James Stewart and Joe Venuti. And then we will still have The Whistler with Chain Reaction starring Frank Lovejoy. But right now, it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity is Mel Gibson.
I have definitely heard of Mel Gibson.
I know that. And the prize is one of our favorites. It's a Lou Malnati's gift certificate for the player.
Wow, not
bad. So it's a great one.
And what caller would you like?
We're going to go with caller number 4.
All right, call us right now, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Play the game live on the air. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We're going to get ridiculous. We've got Joe on the line. Hi, Joe.
How are you tonight?
I'm so good. How are you?
Oh, I'm spectacular. I was caller number 4.
Yes, you were. So we're so happy you made it through. And either way, you are a big Lou Malnati's winner. But we're going to have a little fun first with Mel Gibson.
Hi, Joe. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. How are you tonight?
All right, terrific. All right, let's play the game.
Okie doke. Number 1, in the 90s, Mel Gibson appeared in People magazine in their 50 most beautiful people in the world list. Is that real or ridiculous?
Oh, that's got to be real.
It's
He's a handsome
real.
Dude.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It is real, and yes, he is.
Oh, yeah.
He left.
It's in my bag. I got to go get it. But
He's going to do his own sound effects.
I'm going to do my own sound effects.
That's great. Okay. Number 2, Mel Gibson won $21,000 on Jeopardy. Is that real or ridiculous?
Wow. Going to call it ridiculous.
I think on Celebrity Jeopardy, I think he did win. So I'm going to say real.
Joe, you should not listen to Carl. It is ridiculous.
Oh,
he did
man.
Not. No.
She's so sneaky, this Lisa Wolf.
But it sounded good, but
yeah,
not to
they
Joe.
They have Celebrity Jeopardy, and
they
I thought
do.
Maybe he was on there.
I know you did.
Good job, Joe.
All right, number 3. His favorite television show of all time is The Three Stooges. Real or ridiculous?
Well, absolutely real. Although it wasn't a,
it wasn't
TV
a television show, though.
Up.
But
exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe
what
knows
what
his stuff.
It wasn't a television show.
He loves The Three Stooges.
The Three Stooges was never a television show. But you know what?
Yes,
Joe
it was.
Is right. No, it's not. Joe and I know what we're talking about.
It's real.
I know, but it was never a television. Joe.
Exactly.
You see,
he loves.
She will lock on to something. She like a dog on a bone, boy, I'll tell you.
Okay, well, enlighten me because I watched The Three Stooges.
Joe, should we enlighten her? They were movie shorts. Now they took much later they took these movie shorts and put them on television, but they never had a television show.
Okay, but because they put them on the television, you could watch the Three Stooges on television. I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
Either way, I'm not going to argue with
both
Joe.
Joe and I are right.
I'll argue with you later. I will not argue with Joe.
That's
Joe,
right.
You are the winner here, and you have won a Lou Malnati's gift certificate. Lou Malnati's is home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza. We love Lou Malnati's. Find one of their 40-plus Chicagoland locations. Order online at loumalnati's.com. Thank you for calling, and thank you so much for playing, Joe.
Hey, Joe, you know what?
Thank you.
You know what, Joe? We stumped Lisa.
You
I think.
Did not stump
yes,
me.
Yes, we did. We got
absolutely.
Her. Didn't we, Joe?
What are you talking
me
about?
Me and Joe stumped you.
I'm not stumpable.
Yes, you are. Thanks, Joe. You're a great player, buddy. You got all three right.
Didn't stump me.
Have a great night.
You too.
Goodbye.
All right. If you want to text us, our text in line is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. We love getting your text. Did you have a nap, Lisa?
I did, Carl.
Okay,
can
Lisa,
you not tell?
Lisa had a nap. She will
so
not.
So all is good for tonight.
All right, that's
Lisa had
good.
A nap.
I did not get a nap in
I
today.
Can tell.
I did not get a nap
yes,
in.
I'm noticing that.
So
I picked up on that immediately.
By the end of the night, I might.
You know what? That's
be doing.
Better than the alternative.
All right, it's time for the Bing Crosby Show. This, you know, he was on the air a long time, Bing Crosby. He did a lot of radio, and he had his own radio show in the 50s. And it was the first show, Lisa, that was ever recorded. They actually recorded the show on Ampex tape. They said to Bing Crosby, "We will record you at your convenience." You know, he was a busy guy. He was a big movie star. He liked to play golf. He had a family. He was like, "I don't want to do radio." And they were like, "No, no, no. We'll record you on tape." So his show was the first recorded show on tape. And this is, you'll hear an episode now on tape, from March 12th, 1953. His special guests are James Stewart and Joe Venuti. Here's part one now of the Bing Crosby Show.
When the blue of the night meets the gold of the day, someone waits for me.
Show brought to you by the General Electric Company, makers of famous, dependable kitchen and home laundry appliances. Produced and transcribed in Palm Springs, California. With John Scott Trotter and his orchestra, Judd Collins with the Mayors, and Bing's guests, Jimmy Stewart and Joe Venuti. And now, ladies and gentlemen, direct from the pages of the Saturday Evening Post, we bring you Bing Tells All Crosby.
What do you mean? Are you twitting me because I lost my head and decided to relate some memoirs in the Post?
Oh, no, huh? Not at all. You know, Bing, there is one thing about your life story that puzzles me.
What's that?
Well, the kind of life you say you were leading at the time you worked for Paul Whiteman, how could you remember what happened?
That's very simple. Every morning I'd wake up and I'd say, "What happened?" And Joe Venuti would tell me.
Oh, I see.
Joe was the class historian.
You know, I've often wondered, too, did you fellas call Whiteman Pops because he was sort of a father to all of you?
Mm-hmm, and also because he was continually opening champagne.
Oh.
Popping the Paul Roger.
Paul Roger. Did Whiteman give you fellas champagne?
Nobody used to let us take the empties back to the bootlegger and get a nickel back on the dump.
You had fun then.
You said I wouldn't have missed it for the world, but I never want to do it again. But Ken, enough of this ribald reminiscing. We are here to make some music, and we make it to commence here with an old favorite, Jeepers the Creepers. Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those peepers? Jeepers Creepers, where'd you get those eyes? Gosh, y'all, get up, how'd you get so lit up? Gosh, y'all, get up, how'd you get that size? Golly gee,
when you turn those heaters on. Woe is me, I gotta put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, where'd you get those peepers? All those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes?
Jeepers, creepers, why'd you ever get those crazy eyes? Jeepy, jeepy, feels kind of creepy. Took another look at your beautiful eyes.
Golly gee, when you turn those heaters on, woe is me, I gotta put my cheaters on. Jeepers, creepers, how'd you get those peepers? Oh, those weepers, how they hypnotize. Where'd you get those eyes?
Jeep, 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 jeeper, creeper.
Where'd you get that pair of peepers?
Jeep, 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 jeepers, creepers. Where'd you ever get those eyes?
Thank you, man. Waltz Ballad, which has been recorded with signal success by Miss Teresa Brewer. Little Miss Brewer has appeared on our program many times and always with signal success. Till I waltz again with you, let no other hold your charms. If my dream should all come true, you'll be waiting for my arms. Till I kiss you once again, keep my love locked in your heart. Darling, I'll return and then we will never have to part. Though it may break your heart and mine, the minute when it's time to go, remember, dear, each word divine that meant I love you so. Till I waltz again with you, just the way we are tonight, I will keep my promise true. For you are my guiding light. Again with you, just the way we are tonight. I will keep my promise true, for you are my guiding light.
To present an old friend of mine from way back in the Paul Whiteman days, the eminent violinist and historian, Joe Venuti.
Is this the place?
This is the place, Joe. What are you going to play for us tonight, Joe?
A selection titled Tea for Two.
Tea for Two.
With lemon.
How many lumps do you want, Joe?
No rough stuff.
I'm sorry. Present an always welcome visitor to this program, the two-fisted shy guy who can currently be seen in popcorn palaces around the nation in the Technicolor picture, The Naked Spur, Mr. Jimmy Stewart.
Hi, Ben.
Hi, Jimmy.
Say, Bing, I was reading your life story in the Saturday Evening Post coming down here on the bus, and it sure has suspense.
Suspense? What do you mean?
Well, I was reading it over a fella's shoulder, and he got off at Pomona.
That's a bad break, Jim. Now, let me ask you something. What are you doing in Palm Springs, and why did you come down on the bus?
Well, a couple of months ago, I was guest on Jack Benny's TV program, and he promised me a week in Palm Springs, all what? Expenses paid.
Well, your wife, Gloria, Gloria was on the show, and she was very good, too.
Yeah, yeah. She
well, what about her?
I couldn't make a deal for her.
But Jack came up with a bus ticket for you, huh?
Yeah, he finally did. At first, he wanted to ship me down here on a truckload of tennis balls for the racket club.
Some tennis balls as a racket club, Lisa. I don't know. My Jimmy Stewart isn't that good. Jimmy Stewart. It's not that good.
I think we need Bill Leff in the house here.
Bill does. Jimmy Stewart. Yeah. Yeah, Alicia.
If he's listening, Bill, I'm so sorry.
Bill, we need you.
I'm so sorry.
Call in. All right, let's take a quick break from the Bing Crosby Show with special guest James Stewart, and we'll be right back.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
Thank you, Vic. Appreciate you. It is 11:35 on a Sunday night.
You had to think about that one.
I have to think all the time, Lisa.
I know.
It doesn't come easy to me.
It's important to think before you speak, though.
Yeah,
and that's
it is.
I mean that honestly.
Especially when you're on the radio.
On the radio. It's the people who speak and then think that it's a problem.
Yeah.
I guess we all do that now and then.
This is true.
Just hopefully not too
this
often.
This is true. Yeah, you know what? We broadcast every Saturday and Sunday night, 11 p.m. until 2 in the morning on Saturdays, until 1 in the morning on Sundays. We're here 5 hours a week. We play 5 classic radio shows for you every week, and it's broadcast all over the country. We love it. We just love having this nearly coast-to-coast audience on one radio station, WGN. That's how powerful this station signal is.
Especially at night. And we started here just on Sundays. When we first started here at WGN, we were only on Sundays, and I guess we've done a good job. We've moved over to Saturdays, too, so we feel lucky to have that extra time here.
Yep, and we have a great promotion going on right now with Woodman's. Don't forget, folks, if you shop at Woodman's, just take a photo of your receipt, your grocery receipt, and send it to us at woodmanswgn@gmail.com, and then we'll send you 12 classic radio shows via digital download.
We really have to go back to Woodman's and have some fun there. We really had fun when we went there.
Great.
It was truly a culinary experience.
That's right. All right, so make sure you do shop at Woodman's, send in your receipt, get some classic radio shows. Also, real quick, I just want to remind you, we have a $1 special. You can join the Classic Radio Club for only $1. The very first month, you'll get 10 classic radio shows on 5 CDs in a collector case with copious liner notes, sent to your home. Only $1 plus the shipping and handling of $4.99. If you want to save the shipping and handling, you can join for $1 and get them digitally downloaded right to your computer. To learn all about the Classic Radio Club. And if you are a member, you'll never get a duplicate show. You can cancel at any time. We just really want you to try the Classic Radio Club. You may absolutely love it, like so many people that are members now. We have hundreds and hundreds of members.
Well, of course they'll absolutely love it. If they love the WGN Radio Theater, they will love being a member of the Classic Radio Club. And that's the reason why we made the first month for $1. Because we really are so sure you're going to love it, we want you to give it a try.
Yeah, you'll get shows uncut, unedited, nothing taken out, no commercials removed. You will get the full-length shows digitally remastered. They are going to sound amazing, whether you get the CDs or the digital downloads. You'll get all this notes that I write about the shows. It's a fun club. You get 10 shows every single month sent to you, and you can join the first month only $1. So check it out. Go to classicradioclub.com. That's classicradioclub.com. It's only $1. Right, Lisa?
$1.
It's just $1. All right, let's get back now to the Bing Crosby Show.
Are you stopping at the racket club, Jimmy?
No.
Where are you?
No, I'm at the El Mirador.
The El Mirador? Jack Benny is paying for a room at the El Mirador? That's very deluxe.
No, Bing. I'm not staying at the El Mirador Hotel here in Palm Springs. I'm staying down the road a piece at the El Mirador Enchilada Parlor. And cabins.
Well, however, you're still in the Spanish motif, but I can't, I don't think I can place. I don't remember the El Mirador Enchilada Parlor and Cabins. Where is this?
Well, perhaps you know this motel by its former name. It used to be called La Cucaracha.
La Cucaracha?
Yes, but they changed the name because it was all too true.
Strange. I just can't seem to recall that joint, that place.
Oh, no, you must have passed a million times, Ben. Your red and yellow cabins about a mile the other side of Cathedral City.
Oh, yeah, I know that spot. The house detective rides around on a burro.
It's really not such a bad place, Bing. The beds are quite comfortable, and they serve a lovely continental breakfast.
Continental breakfast, huh?
Yeah. They give you chilled cactus juice, a hot tamale, a big scoop of fried beans, and then you have a choice of coffee, tea, milk, or Alka-Seltzer.
Well, what do you recommend?
You take the Alka-Seltzer, or you won't live till lunch. I sort of switched to a room with a wall bed.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, so I can hide when the maid brings in the breakfast. She never looks for me in there.
Why go all that trouble? Why don't you just hide in the bathroom?
Hey. Well, to go to the bathroom, I'd have to put on my robe and my slippers and walk across the highway.
Across the highway?
Yes, you see, the bathroom is over in the annex. The Mobile gas station.
Oh, yeah, you know, I've often seen people running out of the El Mirador cabins and across the highway in their bathrobes, but I always thought it was a fire drill.
Well, sometimes it's one thing, sometimes it's another.
Now, tell me, what really is the purpose of these delightful visits? You usually have something on your mind when you come to call.
Well, Bing, I have a problem.
Well, my advice to you is move to another hotel.
No, Bing, it's not that. I know. You see, for some time now, I've been thinking of buying Gloria a General Electric automatic washer.
Well, good boy, but why should that be a problem?
Well, I thought maybe you might go to the store with me and help me buy it. I kind of squeamish about that, eh?
Oh, but why?
Well, a washing machine is kind of an intimate, personal.
Well, I guess so, if you say so.
Would you go with me, Ben?
We'll go right now. I'll grab my hat. I'll take you over to the GE dealer right here on the main drag.
Well, can you leave now, right in the middle of the program, I guess?
I can if it's company business.
Oh, yeah.
We may even drop in at the drugstore and have a malted milk. I'll put it on my expense account.
Gosh, you sure know how to live.
Oh, Well, come on, Jim. Let's go get that automatic washer.
Okay.
Well, isn't this a beautiful little town, Jimmy?
Oh, it sure is.
Say, bud.
Yeah, what's the matter?
I got something here you might be interested in. I got just two boxes left.
Say, these look like the real thing.
They're the McCoy, bud. Only a buck and a quarter a box.
I'll take both of them.
Oh, boy, what a sport. So long.
So long. Say, Jimmy.
Yeah, Bing.
Boy, this is our lucky day. That guy just let me have two boxes. These are real tough to get in Palm Springs.
Yeah?
Here's yours, Jim.
Gee, thanks. Well, what do you know? Dates.
Yes, sir, dates.
Yeah.
Well, here we are. The GE store's right. Let's come on in, Jim.
Okay.
Nice little store, isn't it, Jimmy?
Sure is. Wonder where the clerk is.
Right there behind that counter. There's a girl right over there.
Oh. Yeah.
You'd think, you know, selling automatic washers, things like that, you'd think you'd have a man clerk for men.
Well, this girl's probably very broad-minded about these things.
Can I help you, gentlemen?
If you would, please.
Say, you know, these are darn good. Would you like a date, miss?
Oh, sure, but I have to go home and change first.
Wait, we'd like to see a General Electric automatic washer.
Oh, fine. Step right over here. Now, here's the GE automatic washer right here.
Isn't that a beauty, Jim?
Yeah. Gee whiz, that's a... Well, that thing's pretty enough to put in the living room.
It sure is. You know what would really set that off, Jim? A Toby jug, maybe, on top of... Maybe a Spanish shawl draped over one corner. Wouldn't that be nice? Hmm?
You know, they're having a big sale on Spanish shawls in the gift shop in my motel. There's a sale of shawls and tortillas.
Well, if we can drop interior decorating for a moment, I'd like to say that this General Electric automatic washer gives you the whitest, brightest wash in the world. And it does the whole job completely automatically.
You mean you don't have to bend over this machine and scrub the clothes out by hand, huh?
Where you been, boy? While the clothes are being washed in this machine, you can drape the Spanish shawl around you and you dance the fandango.
The fandango?
Yeah.
I don't believe I'm acquainted with that dance.
Well... I'll tell you what I'm going to do, boy. If you buy this washer, we'll throw in 12 lessons at Arthur Murray's.
Say, you're quite a salesman.
I'm with the company, kiddo. Tell my pal here about GE Activator Action, will you?
Well, Activator Action launders clothes gently, piece by piece, individually. Just the way a fine hand laundress would.
Think of that.
And the GE soaks and cleanses, flexes and rinses, deep rinses each garment. And get this, Jim, in a GE, the clothes are constantly submerged in detergent water. They're flood washed and they're flood rinsed.
And the clothes never come out matted or tangled.
Well, that's a good point, because there's nothing more uncomfortable than tangled laundry.
Ain't it awful? This new GE isn't like the... This new GE isn't like the tumbler-type washers that just dunk your clothes and then wads them up in a ball.
And the General Electric never drains dirty water back through the freshly laundered clothes.
How come?
I guess we better tell him, huh? You see, Jim, when the GE wash basket spins, it spins so fast that the dirty, soapy water is literally lifted out, wafted away, up and over the top. You just can't help getting the cleanest laundry you ever saw.
And remember, after washing, a General Electric automatic washer spins your clothes so dry that you can start ironing some pieces immediately, right out of the washer.
And the cost? Only about $3.90 a week after a small down payment.
This is the brand new General Electric automatic washer for 1953. It's built on the solid bedrock of GE dependability.
Well, that's the machine for me.
This is the machine for everybody.
Now, your name, please?
Just a moment, miss. I know this is the machine I want, but would you mind demonstrating it for me?
What, do you want a floor show or something? Take the machine.
I want a demonstration.
Oh, well, it would be a pleasure.
I mean with laundry in it.
Laundry yet?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you don't happen to have some laundry on you, do you, miss?
Yes, and I'm going to keep it on.
There goes my Adam's apple again. Every time I get nervous, it flips.
Now, pull yourself together, Jim.
I told you this is going to be embarrassing.
Come on,
babe.
Come on, Jimmy. Pay the lady. Let's go.
No. I want a demonstration on you. Bang.
No, Jim. I'd be glad to toss in my socks, but it so happens I'm not wearing any.
Oh, gosh.
This is Palm Springs. You'd be surprised at the things people don't wear down here.
Now, listen, Jim, if you want to see how this automatic washer works, throw your own laundry in.
Well, that seems fair. Yep, that's fair and square. Well, where'll I take my clothes off?
Just step right in there in that little dressing room.
Okay.
I'll be doggone. How come you have that dressing room here, miss?
Well, the boss always said that someday some lunatic would come in here and want to do his laundry.
Well, he's here. Come on now, Jim. Hurry it up. Here, I'll pull the curtain back for you.
All right, thanks. Here, hold my date.
I got him. Now get in there. Come on. Yeah, I hope you'll forgive my buddy, miss. He's not really off his rocker or anything. He just acts this way.
Oh, it's all in a day's work. We had an Eskimo come in here one day, and he left a chunk of blubber in a GE food freezer.
Now, what was an Eskimo doing here in all this heat in Palm Springs?
I don't know, but he muttered something about harpooning his travel agent.
Certainly wouldn't blame him. Hey, Jim, you got your clothes off?
Yep.
Well, come on, hurry it up.
Oh, don't rush me. I'm making out my laundry list.
Just hand me those duds.
No, wait till I get my pants and sweater on.
He's in this awful
I
want to
watch this
around.
Here. Well, here I am. Here's my laundry.
Well, now I'll just toss these things in here. We'll have the demonstration.
Now, pay attention to this, Jim.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's closing time. We'll have to have the demonstration tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow morning?
Yeah, come on. Now, grab your laundry, Jim. Let's hit the trail out of here.
Okay, give me my date. So, see you tomorrow, miss.
It's a date.
Boy, are you in for a thrill, Jimmy. Wait till you see that General Electric automatic washer tomorrow.
Yeah.
Are you?
Pardon me.
What's the matter? You still nervous?
No, that must have been the continental breakfast.
Years ago, I made a recording with an Irish color to it. It seems to me to be appropriate now, as St. Patrick's Day is only 5 days away. This was written by Mr. Preston Foster, eminent actor of the films. You're acquainted with him, I'm sure.
Yes.
And Perry Bodkin, our guitar player, wrote the melody. It's called Two Shillelagh O'Sullivan. This is Irish with sort of a Western decor. John O'Scott, are you ready? A mighty man. Listen to what I'm telling you now. A mighty, mighty man. There's many a man that rode a horse across the western plain. There's never been one like the Irishman. O'Sullivan was his name. He never packed the shooting iron. The need he never felt. With two shillelaghs always there. A hanging on his belt.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay, yippee-pum-po.
Begorrer and yippee-ki-yo.
Two shillelagh O'Sullivan, he'll give any man a go.
Oh, the shillelagh. Of course, you know what we call it, don't you? The Tipperary rifle. You never have to reload it. This bronco-busting Irishman from the side of Erin's Isle was after living peaceful like he always wore a smile. But when the smile was leaving him, in a fight he'd come unwound. Bad zest to any crossing him. And they'd wind up on the ground.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay-yay, yippee-pum-po.
They got her in yippee-ki-yo.
To Shillelagh O'Sullivan, he'd give any man a go.
Why, he was so strong, O'Sullivan, he could put his right hand in his own left hip pocket and he could hold himself out at arm's length.
No man can do that.
It's O'Sullivan I'm talking about.
Oh, well, he could.
Now go on back and sit down. Across the range from morn till night, he rode for days and days, a-fixing fences here and there and a-picking up the strays. A cattle spread he really built, as big as Ireland, where he could range a million head and a shamrock be his brand.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay, yippee-pum-po.
Big order and yippee-ki-yay.
To Shillelagh O'Sullivan, he'd give any man a
bend of his lip and the back of his hand and the toe of his shoe to boot.
Oh, to Shillelagh O'Sullivan.
Now, if you're ever riding through the sagebrush wilderness and you suddenly come upon acres and acres of shamrock sprinkled with stardust, well, you'll be after knowing that you've just arrived at the O'Sullivan spread, known as the Lazy Leprechaun. Stop in, won't you? Have a cup of tea. Tequila, that is. That represents our closer for tonight, and thanks to Jimmy Stewart and to Joe Venuti for guesting with us. Hope to see you next week, same time, same place, when our guest will be Dinah Shore and also Mr. Venuti. Incidentally, Joe and his orchestra are appearing nightly at the Howard Manor here in Palm Springs. Friends, remember that General Electric dependability. You can't see it, but it's there in every single GE appliance you buy. You can put your confidence in General Electric. Good night,
And thanks very much.
The Bing Crosby Show for General Electric was produced and transcribed in Palm Springs, California by Bill Morrow and Myrtle McKenzie. Tune in next week and hear Bing and his guests, Dinah Shore and Joe Venuti.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
That is the Bing Crosby Show from March 12th, 1953. Guests James Stewart. Sometimes he would go by Jimmy Stewart, sometimes James Stewart. And Joe Venuti, as heard on CBS, sponsored by General Electric. Hope you enjoyed that. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. I decided we need to be on the radio more here, Lisa. It's not
really?
Enough. 5 hours is not enough.
So what are you going to do about it,
I don't
Carl?
Know. But we got to be on, like, I don't know, 60, 70 hours a week, I think.
Well, we're going to have to make the big bucks if we want.
I mean, I have 100,000 classic radio shows. How on earth am I going to play all of these shows for our listeners if we're only playing 5 shows a week?
Well, we need to be on, like, the air for a lot of years.
Maybe 90 or 100 hours a week.
100 hours a week.
100 hours a week would be good.
Well, it's been nice working
with
you, Carl.
Because that would be 100 shows that we would play a week. So let's see. In a year, that'd
this
be like
higher math.
Be like 5,000 shows, I think. I think I did the math. 5,200 shows.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
Man, you know what? My math teachers, if they're listening out there, Mrs. Cruz.
They should feel real good about you.
Mrs. Cruz, if you're out there, she was my geometry teacher. Kudos to you, because
this
I was
not
able
a geometry in, problem.
Well, it doesn't matter. In my head, I was able to figure that out. 5,200 shows.
That's just, you know, like basic fourth
proud
grade
of myself,
multiplication.
Actually, I'm pretty proud of myself right now. So that's what we'll do. 100 hours. We need to be on 100 hours. Vic, can you do something about that? Is there anybody? Who should we talk to? We need to be on 100 hours a week.
Because Vic is a programming director, so he's going to be on it.
Vic has some pull. He has pull.
He's not talking.
He can help. He can help in this.
I'm gonna talk to Todd and Stephanie and
All
see
right.
what I can
100
do.
100 hours a week.
I'm
we
on
need to
it
be on.
For you.
I would have to move downtown though.
Okay.
I can't.
Well,
be
you'd be able
that.
To afford it then.
I can't
you'd
be
making,
making
so
that,
much money.
That Shrek. All the way from Barrington to here. There's no way. All right. Well, in our next hour, it is the Whistler from 1948. You don't want to miss that. But right now, it's time for news. The Steve Cochran Show celebrates the most valuable person on the planet. Weekday mornings at 720 on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. It's midnight. Time for news. Here's Vic Vaughn. May I have this dance, Lisa?
Chosen by our producer, Ashley Byhun. She chooses the excellent music of the evening.
You know, I can't dance for the life of me.
I'm not surprised to hear that.
I can do the like disco and if I'm by myself, but if I have to hold hands and then do like the spinning or any of that kind of stuff,
right?
Terrible.
Yeah, I'm
the
not
worst.
Shocked to hear that.
I know this will never happen, but if I was ever asked to be on Dancing with the Stars, I mean, I know that's never going to happen in my lifetime, but if just, you know, let's just fantasy now for
sure.
a second. You know, just
I gotcha.
I get a phone call and it's Dancing with the Stars and they're like, we'd like to have you on, you know? We're doing a radio edition. You know, we're doing a radio
I understand.
Host edition. I'm trying to put some validity into this story.
There's no validity here.
Okay.
It's just fantasy.
And, you know, I want you on, we would like you to be on Dancing with the Stars. I probably wouldn't do it.
Well, I
because
think that
I would
be a
the
good
first,
answer.
I would be the first person
out.
Kicked off of that show. There's nobody that they could have on the show that would be worse than me.
Okay, speaking of dancing and you, Valentine's Day is around the corner.
Right.
And I know you're very romantic. Do you
very.
Have any
I'm
plans to
romantic.
Take any, you know, special girl out dancing for the evening?
Not dancing,
no.
No.
Chocolates, mm-mm. flowers,
no.
what do you, what's,
yeah,
what's
I mean,
on tap?
I mean, flowers.
Flowers are good?
Chocolate, flowers, yeah.
Good.
I actually combine it. I do chocolate flowers.
Oh.
Say so that
nah.
way it's better.
Nah.
But if it has to do with the, like if a girl were to say to me, hey, let's go dancing.
Right.
You know, I'd be
You're
like,
out.
I'd be like, can't do it.
Yeah.
Can't do that.
That's all right. You have other skills.
I have other things I like to do.
I'm sure.
I like watching Netflix.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. You're good at that.
I like to watch Netflix. I'm
You're
excellent
very good at that.
That.
Yep.
And you're watching something on there right now.
Oh, I finished it. I finished You.
It's called Y-O-U, You. I started watching it.
I watched half of the first episode.
I've gotten through half of the first episode.
Okay, well.
Listen, I'm busy.
It's called You.
Know? During the week, I got a lot going on.
I know.
Classic Radio Club.
You had time to watch The Fall when I suggested that
Shipping out all these Classic Radio Club orders.
All right, don't watch
it. You know?
It.
All right, in this hour, it's The Whistler from 1948. No, I won't do the whistle, okay?
Okay, thank you.
I'm not going to try doing the whistle. I can't do it. Anyway.
It started out strong.
Nah, close. Frank Lovejoy stars in Chain Reaction. That's in this hour. But right now it's time to play our game, Cat's Pride. Is it real or is it ridiculous?
Yes, the celebrity is Susan Sarandon.
Susan Sarandon,
yes,
yeah.
And we are going to give away the desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. I have to tell you, this is a true story. I asked Sarah in our marketing department this week if I could have a desktop indoor weather station because I actually...
What?
Yeah, I did. And she said yes.
Oh.
So sorry.
I
did that because
I want to never measure.
I give it away and I talk about it all the time and I feel like if I actually had the product and I used it,
can you ask her for
I can't. I would be a much better person to talk about the product if I actually had it and used it. So one's on the way.
I have zero pull.
When
at this radio
I get
station.
It, I'll zero. Let you know though. I'll let you know.
All right. So
we're going to go with caller three.
Caller
so call
three.
Now.
312-981-7200. I did it for you.
You did it
there.
My way.
All right, call now. Play the game. We'll be right back.
Come on, baby. Let's get ridiculous.
We're going to get ridiculous with Miles. Hi, Miles.
I can say Miles' name.
Hi, Colin.
Hey, what's up, Miles?
Good. It's so good to hear from you on the radio.
All right.
Finally good to talk to both of you.
Yeah.
You too. We're going to play a little Susan Sarandon. Do you remember when we went to Susan Sarandon's ping pong place?
Yeah.
What's the name of it? Ping pong. The pong. What's it called? It's just down the street from here. We had a meet and greet there last year.
I definitely want to come over for your meet and greet next time.
We need to do that again. We're coming up on our 4-year anniversary in April. We're going to have to play
Spin
Chicago.
Oh, yeah, I need Prevagen. I should be taking one of our sponsors' products,
yes,
Prevagen,
you should.
Because it works. I need it.
You do need it.
But
all
I
right.
could say Miles' name. There we go.
Miles, we
hi,
got
Miles.
You covered, Miles. All right. Carl is an excellent lifeline, so we'll see how it goes. Number one, Susan Sarandon loves to play ping pong. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going real.
Carl?
Me too.
Well, I gave that one away, but it is real. I think the batteries are running low in there, Carl.
It might be, yeah, they might
be. It's going a little slower.
Well, you paid $10 for my gift. This is my Christmas gift.
I think it was $20,
$10.
But I thought that was good. I thought that was a big spender. I don't know. Number two, in 1996, she won her first Academy Award for Dead Man Walking. Is that real or ridiculous?
I'm going real.
All right.
Now, here's the thing, Miles, okay? Now, mm-hmm. I know she did win for that movie, but Lisa's so sneaky that
yeah,
it's...
She said first.
Yeah, it's probably like her second Academy Award or something.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with you, and I'm going to say yes, real.
It is real. I'm not okay. that sneaky. I want Miles to be a big winner.
Okay.
Miles, you got two out of three.
She's very sneaky, Miles.
Most people don't get three. The pressure's on. Okay. She kissed Joey on Friends.
Oh, gosh. I'm going to go ridiculous.
She kissed somebody on Friends. I'm not sure if it was Joey, though. I'm going to go with Miles. It wasn't Joey. It was somebody else.
It's real. She did kiss Joey. She played a soap star in this episode, so they had a kissing scene. So you got two out of three.
Yeah.
And that's pretty darn good.
Thank you guys very
You're
much.
Welcome.
So Miles, you know what? We appreciate your calling and playing, and we're so happy to send over a desktop indoor weather station brought to you by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling. They are the 60-Minute Men. Give them a call at 855-955- HVAC. So enjoy your weather station. When I get mine, I'm going to enjoy it right along with you.
Exactly. You guys have a great night.
Thanks.
Thank you, you too. You too.
Thanks, Miles. All right, folks, we still are going to be here for another 45 minutes. If you want to text us, we have a text in line, 312-981-7200. We love getting your texts. And don't forget, there's a podcast of this show.
Yes.
If you fall asleep like Lisa does 90% of the time before the show is over and you miss part of it like she does, just go to Google.
Go to what now, Carl?
Go to the website Google, and then that's how I do it. I Google WGN Radio Theater Podcast.
Or you could download the WGN Radio app.
I don't have
any
apps.
That is the best
I don't
and
know my
easiest
Apple
way to do
ID,
it.
So I can't do it.
So that would be a problem.
All right. Well,
either way.
Yeah, make sure you listen to our podcast.
And I will post the podcast. I posted on Monday. Mm-hmm. I post both Saturday and Sunday show on Monday on our Facebook page. So that's a great way to find it out
as
well.
You ready for The Whistler?
Let's do it.
All right. The Whistler is a great series. You're going to love this. They always had a twist ending. You know, there was always like a, they would build it all up and then you'd think like, oh, this is the murderer or whatever. And, you know, and then boom, there was a twist right at the end. All right. This is from May 12th, 1948. It's called Chain Reaction. It stars Frank Lovejoy. Here's part one of The Whistler.
The Signal Oil Program, The Whistler. That whistle is your signal for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
Yes, friends, it's time for the Signal Oil Program, The Whistler, rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history. And Signal gasoline is tops, too. Tops in quality. It takes extra quality, you know, to give you extra mileage. And Signal is the famous go-farther gasoline. So look for the Signal circle sign in yellow and black that identifies friendly dealer-owned Signal stations from Canada to Mexico. And now the Whistler's strange story. Chain Reaction.
Johnny Turner was packing his suitcase, but mentally he was tearing up his train ticket to Chicago. It had been several years since Johnny used to wonder, while barnstorming the country, if his mind was playing tricks on him, if Diana could really be as beautiful as the image of her that clung to his thoughts like adhesive. When he came back, he found that Diana was everything he dreamed of and more. She was not only as beautiful, she was married. She had everything that money could buy. But still, she kept coming around to see him, still as approachable as a park bench. Now, as she sat on his bed in the cheap rooming house, watching him pack, he realized all over again how close love is to hate, as close as the two sides of his last thin diamond.
So you're leaving, Johnny, huh?
You catch on quick.
Just to avoid me, is that it? Where are you going?
Traveling. I got a road job selling song sheets and razor blades. If I work hard, they'll put me on buggy whips. Any more questions?
Johnny. Johnny, darling.
Go away. I'm not in the market.
Johnny, why don't you stop pretending? You still love me. You know you do.
I said go away. You depress me.
You need me, Johnny.
I need you like I need three thumbs.
You really don't mean that.
Try me again.
All right, Johnny. Have it your way. I just dropped by to see if you'd be interested in the job.
I have a job.
This one pays a lot of money.
Then my income tax would be too high. No.
A lot of money. Just fly a plane.
Whose?
If you're interested, you can get all the details tonight. It's a nice setup, Johnny. And temporary.
Like everything else.
Are you interested?
Yeah.
Johnny.
In the dough, sweetheart. You're so eager. But then you always were.
I don't ever remember you throwing rocks at me, darling.
Where do I get the details?
How about Mike's Cafe for dinner? Do you have enough money to get your pants pressed?
Yeah, sure. Maybe both legs.
Oh, here, Johnny, take this.
I told you before, I don't need any handouts.
Stop being so touchy. You won't get this job if you come looking like a tramp.
If I get the job, who will I be working for?
My husband.
Oh, your husband, huh? What are you up to, Diana?
Well, nothing. Nothing at all, darling. See you tonight.
Bartender.
Yeah?
That clock ride?
Sure. What's the matter, pal? Your girlfriend send you?
No. Maybe your husband did.
Huh?
Skip it. Give me another bourbon and water.
Yeah.
And send it over to our table, will you, bartender?
Yeah, sure, lady.
Hello, Johnny. This is, Frank.
Sorry we kept you waiting, Turner.
No, that's all right. There are two kinds of people in this world. Those who are always waiting for somebody and those who keep you waiting.
You just made that up?
Yeah. I get better as the evening goes along.
Shall we go to our table, gentlemen?
Sure. Walsh, my bar bill, take care of it, huh? I left my wallet in my other suit.
You do get better as the evening goes along, don't you?
Somehow you hadn't pictured Diana's husband this way, had you, Johnny? A bald, red-faced, chubby little man with bright, beady eyes. Thin, moist lips that seem to be fixed in a perpetual grin. He keeps sizing you up all through dinner, asking question after question. You become slightly annoyed.
Look, Walsh, are you going to write the story of my life or give me a job?
Now, don't be that way, Johnny. Naturally, Frank has to know a few things before...
I thought you'd given him the build-up.
She has, Turner. Diana is quite certain you'll be able to do the job.
Uh-huh. You haven't told me yet what the job is, Walsh.
Now, there are three parts to it. One, you do as you're told. Two, you keep your mouth shut. Three, you fly a plane.
How much does the third part pay?
It's not piecework. The whole job pays $5,000. It won't take us more than 3 weeks to complete the job. $5,000 is a lot of dough for 3 weeks.
Keep talking.
You'll be working for the Continental Salvage Company.
What are you going to salvage?
Gold.
Well, that sounds like nice work. The money in it?
In business to salvage gold from the ocean bottom. Now, take a look at this.
Oh, a map. Just like in the movies, huh?
Now, this area here, Cuba, Jamaica, during the war, several ships went down here. They were carrying large shipments of gold. Most of the gold is still there.
Most of it? I don't recall hearing about
it. A lot of it has already been salvaged. You don't hear about it because the government has a habit of demanding a rather large cut in the profits. So most of the salvage work has been kept quiet. However, we're going down there after the gold on a big scale, legitimately.
Uh-huh. Big business.
We're a stock corporation, Turner, with $500,000 invested capital.
Okay. Where does my job come in?
Your job is to scout the area ahead of the salvage vessel, and the only way to cover that much water is with a plane.
What do you say, Johnny?
Do you want the job?
Okay, Walsh. You just bought yourself a pilot.
Even for $5,000, there's something about this deal you don't like, Johnny. And the following day, when you see the Queen Oriana, the ship chartered by Continental Salvage Corporation, you like it even less. An old broken-down tub, built back in the 90s as a yacht, now part of a small fleet of fishing boats. There's nothing left of her bright work, and the varnish is all peeled off her rotting mahogany. She doesn't look safe enough to sail in a fish pond. The last thing to go aboard her is the plane you're to fly. The trim, sleek-looking cabin cruiser fitted with pontoons. You look her over very carefully, don't you, Johnny? And you notice the extra gas tanks. And you also notice that the plane is without radio. As you slip out of the plane and jump down to the deck, Walsh comes towards you.
Well, what do you think of her, Turner?
She'll do.
Think she's good enough to fly nonstop over the Gulf of Mexico?
Gulf of Mexico? You ought to brush up on your geography.
My geography's all right.
And your sense of direction is not so good. We're not going that way.
Answer my question.
Okay. If you want to fly the Gulf of Mexico, I guess she'll oblige. But I wouldn't figure on setting her down in the water. The Gulf can get awfully nasty at times. In bad weather, this plane wouldn't last an hour.
I said nonstop, didn't I?
Yeah. Yeah, that's what you said.
You watch him as he waddles down the deck and disappears into his cabin. And you wonder about his sudden interest in the Gulf of Mexico. Yes, there's something about all this you don't like. And then, just before you sail that night, while Walsh is below decks, you meet Diana. Her eyes are glazed with the sweet sorrow of parting.
Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye, Diana.
When you come back, Johnny, I'll be waiting for you.
You said that the last time, remember?
Don't you think I know what a terrible mistake I made?
I think saying goodbye is a sort of pastime with you. Some women enjoy crocheting or tatting.
It's not too late, Johnny. When you come back, we'll have enough money to go away together.
If we do come back according to plan, your husband will still be able to outbid me.
But I love you, Johnny.
I may decide to stay in Cuba.
You won't. Because you love me, you know you do. No matter where you go, you will always come back to me.
You know something, Diana?
What, darling?
You're so right. The way I feel about you is like a disease.
Oh, Johnny.
I'll come back.
Without him?
What did you say?
If anything happened to him on the way back and an accident...
You'd be sitting pretty, wouldn't you? All that dough.
We'd be sitting pretty, darling. And we'd never have to say goodbye again. This would be the last time. The last time, Johnny. Well?
Who knows? Accidents do happen.
With the prologue of Chain Reaction, the Signal Oil Company is bringing you another strange story by The Whistler. But now a word to you drivers. If you want to keep performance up and wear down during the months of hard summer driving ahead, it's time to see your Signal dealer now for a spring changeover from winter-weary lubricants. Costly transmission and differential gears need the protection of fresh summer-weight Signal Gear Lube. For limbering up the chassis, there's no spring tonic like a Signal double-check lube job. And, of course, your motor should be drained and refilled with fresh motor oil. Wait a minute. Did I say motor oil? Well, don't you say motor oil. Be sure you say Signal Premium Compounded Motor Oil. For Signal Premium is the improved tight lubricant that far outperforms the finest regular motor oils money can buy. You see, because Signal fortifies 100% pure paraffin base with scientific compounds, Signal Premium does more than just lubricate. In fact, tests prove Signal Premium actually keeps motors 6 times cleaner and reduces cylinder wear 1/3. Your guarantee of a sweeter running motor. But remember this. Only Signal service stations have Signal Premium compounded motor oil. A mighty good reason, I'd say, why there's just one place to take your car for this spring's changeover. Your neighborhood Signal service station.
All right. Your neighborhood Signal station. There's no more Signal stations, I don't think, out there. I just don't think there's any more of those. And they were mostly just on the West Coast. They weren't, you know, Midwest or on the East Coast. Signal oil gas stations were West Coast, but I don't believe there's any more of those around. All right, time for WGN News at 12:30. Here is Vic Vaughn.
Back to WGN Radio Theater with Earl Amari and Lisa Wolf.
You know, Carl, what? I was thinking about something you said, and I think you're onto something.
What's that?
I think there should be a radio edition of Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, why not?
I mean,
I think there should be.
I think that would
there
be a lot of fun.
There are great radio personalities across the country. You know, Howard Stern could be on it, and Carl Amari could be on it.
Right.
I think I have a direct connect to him.
To
I could
who?
Probably Carl Amari. No, but there's a lot of nationally known personalities.
Well, even if you're lesser known,
Dancing with the Stars.
It would be a lot of fun. Radio edition.
Yeah, you could have...
That's going to be the next newest show. When they do that show, we're going to say we thought of it first.
Dancing with the Stars, the radio edition.
How about WGN radio edition? Let's make it even better.
Have some people from... Maybe we have a Dancing with the Stars TV show on WGN television.
It could be anybody from WGN radio or WGN TV.
Yeah, I like it. It's a local show.
Yeah, of course. Be live local, and local, right here. Like Chicago's very own dancers.
All right, so who can we...
I'm pretty sure Ashley could handle that
Ashley, can you get that handled for us? A WGN Dancing with the Stars program, but just don't invite me on it.
Yeah, but
I don't
we have to be on it.
I don't want to be on
it. Not together.
No, I don't want to be on it.
Well, that's the fun
of
it.
No, you can be on it. I do not, because I'll be the first person kicked off.
You two together would be hilarious.
No way am I doing that show.
Oh, way. Yes, way.
No.
All right, well, food for thought anyhow.
Yeah, I'll come watch you dance on it.
Well, thank you.
You know, but
for that.
I'll give you support. I'll be like, yeah, shishkoom bob, rah, rah, rah.
You'll be running out to
the... I'll be like, you know, with the, I'll have like the, you
what
know,
was shish,
the pom pom.
What was that?
Shish boom ba with the rah, you know, with the, what do you call it?
No idea what you're
the
talking pom-pom. About.
The pom pom. The pom pom and all that. But
you want to be a cheerleader?
Yeah, I'll be like a cheerleader.
Are you
going to
dress up like
you.
A cheerleader?
There's male cheerleaders.
I know. That's why I asked you if you would dress up as
I
the
think,
cheerleader.
I think the Super Bowl had some male cheerleaders. I think there are male cheerleaders on the Rams. Did you know that, Ashley? I'm pretty sure there are male cheerleaders on the Rams.
And
I could be a cheerleader for you.
That's what I'm asking you. Yeah, would you do it for
I
me?
I would do that for you, okay. Of course. Of course. Absolutely.
Jumpsuit and all.
Yeah, I would. But I don't want to be on the show. All right, so we're listening to The Whistler, Chain Reaction, Frank Lovejoy. And Ashley in the cast, along with Frank Lovejoy, is his real-life wife, Joan Banks. So
now, that's got to be tough to work with your spouse.
No, I think it'd be great. I mean, you know.
It might be and it might not be. There's all sorts
double
of...
Double paycheck, bringing home a double paycheck to the house,
yeah.
The Lovejoy house.
I've talked about that with my husband. We decided it wouldn't work out well if we
you
worked together.
You guys working together? Well,
no, all day. It's,
have you ever
and
studied
all
law?
Night.
I don't think you could work with him.
Well,
he's
there's
a lawyer.
Other jobs one
attorney.
Could do in a law firm. Other than be a lawyer.
Yeah.
Thanks, though, for that show of support.
We're listening to Chain Reaction. Here's the conclusion to The Whistler.
And now back to The Whistler.
You could hardly ask for a better job, could you, Johnny? $5,000 to fly a plane for the Continental Salvage Corporation in the Caribbean. The work is easy and the opportunity unlimited. Yes, unlimited, Johnny. If anything should happen to Walsh, an accident, you and Diana, his wife, would be sitting pretty. The boat goes out on the 11 o'clock tide that night. On the second day out, you discover the ship is off its course and you hurry to find Walsh. There's no answer from his cabin. As you turn and start down the deck, you run into the mate.
Hey, you seen anything of Mr. Walsh? Well, look, you don't have to talk my ear off. Just answer yes or no. Listen, you're the mate on this tub. We're way off our course. I tried to tell the captain, but he's so drunk we'll be in Madagascar before he straightens out. Why don't you answer me? What's the matter with you?
He stares at you stupidly, then walks away without a word. Yes, that's something else you'd notice. There's something strange about the crew, isn't there, Johnny? There are 6 Chinese who sleep below decks. None of them speaks English. The cook is a Korean, and his conversation consists of a wide grin. The 3 deckhands are fresh out of Portugal. The mate is a sullen German. And the captain lies in his bunk in a drunken stupor. There isn't a man in the entire crew you can talk to. But wait, you've forgotten the radio operator. Quickly, you hurry to the radio shack. You find him at his table, a kid, a gangly kid with a shock of red hair that keeps falling down over his forehead. And he looks nervous, frightened.
My name is Turner, Johnny Turner. I'm the pilot for that plane on deck.
Mine's Scott, Melvin Scott. They call me Scotty. Glad to know you.
I just wanted to check the time from Arlington.
Oh, sure. It'll be on a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
I was just writing a letter to my kid sister in Scranton. Thought I might get it in the mail when we put in somewhere.
You're not exactly an old sea dog, are you, Scotty?
No, it's my first job.
You like it?
I don't know. I I want to make good and all that, but...
You send our position in lately?
Yeah, a couple hours ago. Mr. Walsh gave me the message. There it is on the spindle.
Can I look at it?
Sure.
Uh-huh, I thought so.
What? What's the matter?
Well, this is all wrong, kid. We're not within 200 miles of this position.
What?
Yeah. Oh, this is all beginning to add up. Have you taken a look at that diving equipment on deck?
Yeah, I kind of wondered about that. It doesn't look so good to me.
I wouldn't wear it in a bathtub.
I hate to think of anybody using that stuff.
Maybe no one was ever supposed to use it, kid.
What do you mean?
Maybe this whole trip is a phony. A broken-down tub that's a cinch to go to pieces before we reach the Caribbean, moth-eaten diving equipment, a crew that doesn't speak a word of English, and... Look, kid.
Yeah?
You better report our correct position.
Well, gee,
I figured it out, Scotty. I know exactly where we are.
Well, look, Mr. Turner, I don't want to get into any trouble.
You will if you don't do as I say.
I didn't know that stuff I was sending was phony.
Well, you do now. Okay, kid, what'll it be?
All right, Mr. Turner.
Good. Get on the key and start sending. Scotty, I'll give you...
You turn around to find Walt standing in the doorway, his eyes wild, red-rimmed, the gun trembling a little in his pudgy hand.
Come on, Turner. We're getting out of here.
He was just a kid. Why did
it's
you have to...
It's very sad, I know. Now, come on.
The poor, dumb, innocent kid...
I said, come on. We're going for a little airplane ride, Turner. Time you started earning your money.
On deck, you find the crew ready to set the plane overside with a cargo boom. Walsh holds a small black valise in one hand, waves the gun in the other, shouting orders. Then the two of you climb into the plane. A few minutes later, you're gathering speed like a roller coaster, the waves slapping at the pontoons, and then slowly she lifts. You climb to 3,000 feet and level off. The gun in Walsh's hand is still in your back.
You can put the gun away now, Walsh.
Keep flying.
Where to?
A few miles north of Tampa. My wife will be waiting there, on the beach.
And after that?
Mexico, across the Gulf. Think you can make Veracruz?
That depends.
On what?
When do I get the $5,000?
When we land in Mexico.
You expect me to believe that?
Why not? Don't you trust me?
Look again, friend. I'm not a stockholder.
What do you mean?
Didn't take you long to pack that valise. How much is in it? All the assets of the Continental Salvage Corporation?
Like Diana said, you're a smart boy.
Almost half a million. That's a lot of fish to feed to the sharks.
Shark?
Yeah, look down there.
Makes me dizzy.
As long as we're both in this plane, anything that happens to me happens to you. Throw the gun away.
Sorry.
Come on, Walsh. Which goes into the drink, the gun or you?
The gun stays where it is.
Okay.
You climb to 5,000 feet. His hand is steady, the gun still in your back. You cut the throttle and drift for a moment, then lurch and nose straight down. Through the windshield is the blue water of the Atlantic. You can hear the wind sing louder and louder past the wings. You look at Walsh again. He's pale, but his gun hand doesn't move an inch. At 2,000 feet, it twitches. At 1,000, you stop breathing. The water comes at you like a tidal wave. The plane twists wildly. You pull open the throttle. The wind hits you like a pneumatic drill, threatening to crack the plane wide open. And then, by a miracle, you level off.
Okay, Walsh, you win.
I could have told you. I always do.
At the risk of being delightfully corny again, may I say something?
What?
You'll never get away with this.
No?
When that boat captain sobers up, he'll get a message to the Coast Guard. You'll be wanted for murder.
Let me tell you something, Turner. By now, there's nothing left of that ship but splinters.
Oh?
I guess I forgot to tell you. A friend of mine named Vogel. Sort of a clockmaker. Very handy. Especially with explosives.
Explosives?
That's right. I planted Mr. Vogel's bomb in the ship myself. Now that old tub is gone. And we, you and I, we were blown apart with it. You see, Turner, I thought of everything.
Yeah. Yeah, you sure did.
By nightfall, you reach the west coast of Florida. Finally, Walsh gives you the signal, and you bring the plane down on the smooth water of a lagoon. You taxi as close to the shore as possible and then cut the motor. The plane bobs gently up and down, and you sit waiting. Walsh keeps looking in the direction of a small cottage some 200 yards up the beach. Then at his watch.
Well, are we going to wait here all night?
I'm going ashore. Wait here.
What makes you think I will?
This, my boy. This little valise with $500,000 in it.
Oh?
Ever since we left the boat, you've been figuring on some way to relieve me of it, haven't you?
Frankly, I have kicked the idea around once or twice.
Stop wasting your time, Turner. All you're getting out of this deal is the $5,000 I promised you. Who knows? When you drop us safe and sound in Mexico, I might be tempted to throw in another $5,000.
That's big of you.
I'll be right back. Don't go away.
I won't, Walsh. I won't.
You watch him as he wades ashore, still holding the small black valise. You can see him in the bright moonlight running along the shore. Then he disappears into the trees that surround the cottage. And you wait. 15 minutes. A half hour goes by, and still Walsh hasn't returned. You slip a wrench into your jacket, ease yourself into the water, and start for the shore. A few minutes later, you're hurrying toward the cottage. And you're almost there when the front door opens, and you duck into the shadows. The wrench is in your hand, and you wait. Then you hear the footsteps coming along the path, closer and closer. As they reach you, you step out of the shadows, holding the wrench high in the air.
Johnny.
Diana. Where's Walsh?
Back there in the cottage.
What happened?
What difference does it make? I have the bag. Let's get out of here.
Diana, what happened?
He's dead. I had to do it, Johnny, for us. I had to. There's $500,000 here, darling, and it's all ours now. Johnny, wait. Where are you going?
The cottage. We can't leave him there.
Why not?
He was supposed to have been blown up with a boat, remember?
What are we going to do?
We're going to take him with us. We can dump him out in the Gulf. Come on.
No, Johnny. No, I don't want to go back there.
Oh?
Here. You can have the bag if you think I'm going to run out on you.
All right. Wait here. I'll be right back.
You find Walt sprawled on the cottage floor, stabbed to death. The murder knife a few feet away. Quickly, you pick him up and return to the beach where Diana is waiting for you. Then you wade out to the plane, and a few minutes later, you're skimming across the bay, headed toward the Gulf. Some 20 miles out, you help Diana open the door. A bright moon rides between broken patches of cloud. With a vicious kick, you help her push the body of Frank Walsh out into space. Its size shrinks like a punctured balloon and disappears into the dark waters of the Gulf. You nose the plane up for a steady climb and then level off. Mexico, Johnny. A little more than 1,000 miles over the Gulf. Mexico with Diana and $500,000.
Johnny.
Yeah?
I'm not sorry it turned out this way, are you?
Why should I be? I got you and $500,000. What more could a guy want?
I told you we'd be sitting pretty, and I meant it.
Yeah, by morning we'll be in Mexico. We can land this crate, burn it up. No one will ever know. We can start all over like nothing ever happened.
And we'll never have to say goodbye again, darling.
Never, baby. Never.
Yes, it was a lucky break, wasn't it, Johnny? When you accepted Frank Walsh's offer to fly for the Continental Salvage Corporation in the Caribbean. Now Walsh is dead, and you're on your way to Mexico, racing through the night sky over the Gulf with Diana and the small valise containing $500,000. You look down at the dark, churning waters of the Gulf, and you feel strangely detached from the world, free of it, free of its laws and its justice. Yes, Johnny, no one will ever think of looking for you. They will all believe you were blown up with the boat chartered by the Continental Salvage Corporation. 36 hours later, you scarcely enter the minds of the Coast Guard officer and the police lieutenant aboard the salvage ship Queen Noriana as they look down on the lifeless body of the murdered radio operator.
Well, there he is, just the way we found him.
Any identification?
Mm-hmm. His radio license, name Scott. Melvin Scott.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we also found this, a letter he was writing to a man named Vogel.
Now, let me see.
It's about meeting Vogel in New Orleans with $500,000.
Yeah. You should see me play the innocent kid. My own mother wouldn't know me. I found the bomb you gave Walsh. She'd already planted it. I dumped it overboard the first night out. The way I got it figured, Walsh won't try a getaway in the plane to Mexico until tonight. It'll be a cinch for me to get into his cabin and switch bags on him. And I'll have $500,000 when I meet you in New Orleans. It's really funny. But...
yeah. Looks like the joke was on Scott. He was shot before he got a chance to switch bags.
You send an alarm out on this man, Walsh, his pilot, Turner?
Mm-hmm. The whole Gulf area has been on the lookout. But no one sighted them. No one will.
You mean Walsh and Turner got away?
No, they didn't. I managed to get some information out of the mate with my limited knowledge of German and a lot of gestures.
What's that?
The mate saw this radio operator, Scott, around the plane the other night. You can still smell the gasoline in the afterdeck. Scott drained the extra gas tanks. That plane didn't have enough gas to take them more than 100 miles out over the Gulf.
Let that whistle be your signal for the Signal Oil program, The Whistler, each Wednesday night at this same time. Brought to you by the Signal Oil Company, marketers of Signal gasoline and motor oil and fine quality automotive accessories. Featured in tonight's story were Frank Lovejoy and Joan Banks. The Whistler was produced and directed by George W. Allen, with story by Sidney Renthal and music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted to our troops overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. Next Wednesday, for a full hour of mystery over most of these stations, tune in a half hour earlier. Enjoy The Saint as well as The Whistler. Marvin Miller speaking. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That is The Whistler from May 12th, 1948, with Chain Reaction, starring Frank Lovejoy. Also, his wife in there, Joan Banks. Marvin Miller doing the announcing. You know who did the music on that show, Lisa? Wilbur Hatch. And you know, whenever he drank something, you know what people would say to him?
Down the hatch.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Good one.
Good, Lisa.
Good one.
I hope you enjoyed that, The Whistler. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. When we come back here next week, Lisa,
we have
quite
more
a lineup.
Classic radio shows.
Oh, it's a great lineup.
Which is shocking.
Yeah.
We have The Shadow, My Friend Irma, and Inner Sanctum Mysteries on Saturday night. On Sunday, we have The Jack Benny Program and Boston Blackie. I've got some great choices there for next weekend.
Wow, nice job. All
Thanks,
right, that's
Carl.
Next week here on the WGN Radio Theater. And in the house, Nick DiGilio. What's
hey.
Up, Nick? How are you, man?
All right.
What's going on, buddy? All good?
All good.
Yeah, what'd you think of the game? Did you like
boring?
It was boring, but...
yeah.
But who did you? Who were you rooting for?
Neither.
Neither. Okay.
Yep.
Neither. You know,
I was rooting for the commercials.
Smith, Smythe. What'd you think of the commercials? A couple of good ones. Yeah,
We're going to talk about that on the show.
Okay.
But yeah, there were a few good ones. I thought that the Harrison Ford Alexa thing was really funny.
I didn't see that one.
Yeah, I thought that was good. Right. And in fact, my favorite commercial, and we'll talk about it later. I thought the Burger King commercial with Andy Warhol was fantastic.
See, I didn't see that.
I thought it was the best commercial of the
night. I missed that one.
You know, there's sites we can go and look at all of just
yeah, I will.
All the
yeah.
commercials.
Andy
so
Warhol
that's the best
Burger
thing to
King.
Do. Yeah.
Okay, cool.
It's all just, all that it is Andy Warhol taking a Whopper out of a, it's actually Andy Warhol. It's old footage of Andy Warhol.
Oh, wow, cool.
Taking a Whopper out of a bag, putting ketchup on it and taking a bite. That's the entire commercial.
How did they do that?
Well, special effects,
old,
right?
It's old footage of him. So
I love when they do that with, I think they did that with Elvis and some other stuff. Oh, yeah. I've seen some really great stuff.
Yeah.
All right, so what else is on the program this morning?
We got movie reviews. Not much to talk about in terms of, they haven't, you know, for the past few weeks, there haven't been really been a lot of movies released. Next week, we'll start. Getting a bunch of, like, four or five movies open up next week. But this week we'll get reviews of that. And Eric Childress just got back from Sundance, so he's going to give us some exclusive
I want to hear about how that went.
Of some of the movies he saw at Sundance, so we'll do that.
Very cool. And your dad going to call in?
Of course.
Monday. Tell a joke?
Yeah.
I was telling jokes tonight, kind of ones I probably can't tell on the air here. I was a couple of, you know, a little blue.
They're Carl jokes.
They're kind of blue jokes, but all right. Well, that's sounds good. Yeah. What's it, so? There's nothing really playing right now that I should see, or what should I see next week that's coming out?
I haven't seen the stuff that comes out next week, but the Lego Movie Part 2 opens up next week, and the first Lego Movie was great.
Yeah, I did. I liked it.
Very entertaining, and so I'm looking forward to that. That's one of the big ones that comes out next week, and then there's the pseudo sequel to What Women Want with What Men Want.
Oh yeah, what was that?
It's like Taraji P. Henson.
And are they actually saying it's like the sequel to it? I mean,
well, no, it's just the opposite of it. You know, it's like, so, and right. I mean, we're judging from how bad the Mel Gibson movie
was terrible.
It was a terrible movie.
Yeah,
I don't see much improvement in that. But you know, the Lego Movie opens up next week, so that's always good.
All right, well, stick around because Nick DiGilio is up next. Don't forget, we'll be back here next week with more classic radio. Lisa and I have the 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. slot every Saturday night, and then 11 p.m. till 1 a.m. on Sunday nights, playing all your favorite classic radio shows. So make sure you check out Classic Radio Club at classicradioclub.com. And it's time for news. Hear the sounds that matter. The top five at five from the Rocon Show with Anna DeVlantes, weekday afternoons on 720 WGN Chicago. Smart speaker users, just say play WGN Radio on TuneIn. Stay tuned. Nick DiGilio is up next, and it is exactly 1 a.m. Time for news. Here's Vic Vaughn.